Simeona Nuku is 40 years old. He grew up in Murupara in his Ngāti Manawa, Ngāti Awa, Tainui, Ngāi Tūhoe and Ngāpuhi. He's running a tourism venture based around the Whirinaki Forest, but he's also helping liberate eels from the Rangitaiki River and Lake Aniwhenua out into the ocean.
Definitely, I remember growing up through the 80s, and you know, back then you could leave your car running, leave your keys in the car, shoot into the shop, do your thing, and your car would be still there. But yeah, times have definitely changed from when I was growing up in Murupara. I always have hope about our place and about our town, and always want the best for our people, hoping young people pick up on what you're doing and become a more positive role model, because we had a lot of positive role models growing up, you know, hard-working men, hunters and fishermen, horsemen. You know, when we were growing up, we wanted to be like them. You know, they were like the cowboys, they were tough.
So lots of hunting and fishing.
Yeah, definitely.
And you still?
Yes.
Good hunting?
Yeah. Good hunting, good fishing. It's been better in the past, but I wouldn't have it any other way.
And one of the things we were going to talk about is tuna, eels. Yeah. Fill me in.
So our iwi, we're quite well known for tuna, numbers of tuna, for the taste. Okay, and for the size of them. But over the last few years, their migration journey has been blocked, I guess, by power stations and hydro dam schemes. So the first one was built back in the 60s, more towards Whakatane, the Matahina Dam. Our one up here was built in the 80s, late 70s into the 80s. Yeah, so since then, our...
That's Aniwhenua.
Aniwhenua Dam, yes, sorry. So since there's a good 30, 40 years, our eels haven't been able to migrate to finish their journey. So they're like a salmon, eh? They'll go out there, they'll spawn and die, and then their babies come back. So, yeah.
And the babies were blocked from getting up.
The babies are blocked from getting up. The adults are blocked from going down, yeah. So there's different groups and different families along the river all kind of pitching in to make this migration happen.
So what do you do physically? What actually happens?
Oh, it's just a lot of setting nets and a lot of monitoring waterways. You know, going out there and physically finding them, the big migrators.
So you net the adults?
Yep,
right. And then release them?
Release them not over this dam at Aniwhenua, but over Matahina Dam, where their run will be clear.
Right, out to the sea.
We've been doing that for the last 5 years now. A job that nobody was doing, but a job that had to be done. I guess for me it started where me and my brother were out setting hinaki and failing to bring home something to eat or something decent. Yeah, and that kind of got the alarm bells ringing, red flags up, and we just thought we'd do something about it. We didn't ask anybody. We just went out, done the work, worried about the politics later. So now we've turned it into paying work. It's a fully funded project. Us and the eels couldn't be happier.
And in those 5 years, what have you seen? What changes have there been?
I think it's still a little bit early. 5 years are still a bit early to tell any real changes. But in saying that, we do see a lot more alvas, a lot of the young ones coming back, and that's because of the work the rest of the family down the river are doing. If everyone plays their little bit, does their role, hopefully these eels won't go extinct. So I think that's the main reason we're doing this. What we want is the next generation to have the same fisheries and the same stock in the rivers as we did when we were kids. Maybe we're not doing it for us, we're doing it for them.
And what did you know about translocating tuna when you started out 5 years ago? Did you just go down there with your net and hope for the best?
Right at the beginning, yeah. We knew some of the kaumatuas were doing it, kind of sporadically. It was just a matter of just getting in there, putting our nets in the water, seeing what happened, as well as hanging out with the right people to get the right knowledge. Yeah, it's a whole different process when you're trying to catch migratory fish opposed to catching something to eat. Mm. And yeah, those are the juicy parts you got to come out and learn.
You know. So there are a few tricks to it, are there? It's harder to catch them to be able to move them as opposed to just snaring them and saying there's dinner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is a trick to it. After all, these are hapu females, so we tend to treat them like pregnant females. But a TLC, you know, translocate them as smoothly as possible. So, yeah.
How long does it take? So if you caught one here in Anawhenua and then released it on the other side of the Matahina Dam, how long is that journey for them?
Yeah. Oh, it's not long. Maybe about 30 kilometres. It's only 25 minutes away. But that is a huge difference when they need to come down in stages and climatise as they come down the river. Yeah, we're knocking off almost 2 weeks off their trip. You know, so there's all of that stuff. And they're trying to climatise as they get closer to the salt water. They say, you know, it's an eel going from fresh water to salt water is the equivalent of a human being able to leave Earth and breathe in space. You know, so they're an amazing creature. They've got so much to teach us. We think we know everything about eels, but every year they teach us something new.
What are the latest learnings?
If these eels can't find a way out, they'll go back to their hole and wait for next year. If the conditions are right, and if the passage opens, then they will go. It's like turning the off button on your pregnancy cycle.
They suddenly then not hapu, or
they're what? Still hapu. They just lose the urge to go. Mm.
And so they still do have babies.
They still have babies. Yeah.
But they just haven't migrated to salt water and done process.
They need to go through all that process, salt water, getting up into the warmer waters and the islands. So all of that needs to happen. Probably one of the most mysterious migrations of any creature, because everything's just done in the pitch black of night and underwater.
Mm. And does the same reverse process need to happen when you're catching the little ones to bring them back up here? Do you have to get them acclimatised from salt to this?
They are okay. They've got a lot more time on their side to acclimatise, to get the right pigments, to change colour, to develop their mouth and organs and all of that. So they're not too bad. It's just, again, these dams are stopping them from making their natural migration. Mm.
Late nights, are they?
Late nights, early mornings, yeah. No weekends.
Really?
No, this has to be done every single day. Mm. It's only for 3 months. We're more than happy to do it. I know how important tuna are to my people, to our iwi. And if we lose eels, we lose our identity. Yeah, it's a little bit more than just losing a fish. Mm.
You haven't stayed the whole time in Murupara, have you? Grew up here in the 80s? Yeah.
Yep. 90s, went to college, went to school, started working. I've kind of moved around the country and ended up in Australia after our sawmill went bust. Yeah, that's right. They got bought out by a company called Carter Holt Harvey. So we all got made redundant in that. I wanted to continue working. I was kind of on a roll. I had bills. So, yeah, I moved over to Australia. My friends were there. My family were there. Moved there on Friday, started work on Monday. And, yeah, just got kind of just over that Australia life.
6 years, did you say you were
Six
there?
6 years I was there. Maybe the fifth year. Me, my brother, and my sister-in-law. Kind of, yeah, felt the urge to come home. But we didn't want to come home to do the same old things, like driving forklifts and machines and all of that stuff. And we thought about tourism over there and how we could share some of the stuff that we learned growing up and just share it with people from all over the world. So, yeah, tourism was the idea. Tourism was our kind of plan. And it was funny, too. We had family and friends over there going, oh, you guys are crazy. Moving home, there's nothing. We got a plan. And we're going to stick to it. Mm. We got home. My sister-in-law's uncle just started some bush tours up in Tūruwera. And she moved in to be a guide. We became her drivers. Tourism just started pumping. We've done that for like, wow, 10 years. Still going.
So that would have been tough in the past couple of years, relying on tourists.
It was. It was, and it was a bit like a shock. But we're resilient enough. We've deal with stuff before, and this was no different. We put our heads together straight away, think up plans to keep us in work. What we did know is that our tourism product was very educational, and we knew that it would benefit the young people a lot. And we created this program, Manawa Ora Rangatahi. Initially, it was to keep our heads above water, keep us in work, but it became way more than that. I think it took all of us by surprise how rewarding this mahi is.
And that's, as you say, fitting in with Kohutapu Lodge, with Nadine and their visions as well.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so it's been a really bumpy ride, smooth at times. And I think no matter how many times you fall, all that matters is you get back up and continue and carry on. Yeah.
Hemiona Nuku from Murupara.